Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to another Mining Stock Education Expert interview. I'm Bill Powers, your host. Rick Rolla said that it only takes one commodity up cycle invested in successfully to change your family's wealth for a lifetime. That's why we, most of us anyway, invest in mining stocks for that expected and hoped for outsized gains. The person I'm speaking with today has discovered and already experienced the wealth multiplying potential of successful resource investing. I had the pleasure of meeting this individual a few weeks ago when I was in Vancouver. And I invited him onto the show today to share his story and insights regarding mining stock investing. I'm speaking about Brian Lenny, the founder of JuniorStockReview.com. The purpose of Brian's newsletter and website is to offer information, ideas, and strategies for managing speculation in the junior resource sector. So, Brian, thanks for taking the time to chat, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brian, you have a very unique story, and I got to learn more of it, more of the behind the scenes, how you came into mining stock investing as we briefly chatted in Vancouver. Could you share with listeners both how you discovered mining stocks and also how you're now in the place to where you're a full-time investor and running the website and newsletter?
Sure. So it goes back probably around 2005, 2006. It was actually the first time I met my future brother-in-law. And he was talking about gold and a guy named Doug Casey. And I was extremely curious to understand, because you could tell that he was an intelligent guy, why he was sort of obsessed with these two topics. And so I followed along and did some more research and reading on my own, and kind of got into the monetary policy history, you know, the stuff that's gone on with the Fed, and then would eventually led into the quantitative easing. So I was hooked on the subject from that early standpoint of gold. And then from there, I learned trial and error. And in 2013, I took a major step or major risk in my life. And what we ended up doing, we sold our house, and I took 2/3 of the proceeds and put them into the stocks that I felt had the most opportunity or potential for profits. And so for those that have been following along with the junior sector for the last cycle, you'll know that 2013 to about the end of 2015 were just about the bottom of the cycle. And over those 2 years, I deployed that cash, and in 2016, reaped the rewards. And so what this enabled me to do was to leave my career as an engineer and pursue both investment and writing. And that's what I'm doing now.
So when you first discovered mining stocks and this sector via Doug Casey and your future brother-in-law, how long thereafter did you first invest in a mining company?
It would be the next year. So I think it was 2005 or 2006. So it was that very next year that I bought my my first stock. And, it's one of those things where the first stock that I bought doubled. And as Rick Rule says, I confused a bull market with brains. I definitely was overconfident. I think the only thing that saved me was, especially in the beginning, was my ignorance. So I was more concentrated on the short term, and I was in and out of position so much that when the market crashed in the fall of 2008, I really didn't feel it. Like, I definitely felt like it was the first time that I'd been hit by a major correction in the market, but I didn't have enough money in there at the current at that time to really feel it. So it wasn't until 2011 that I had my next sort of learning cycle, and as the market kind of precipitated down after gold reaching a high around $1,900 per ounce.
Did you invest at that bottom in 2009 after the Lehman Brothers crash? Did you take initial positions there, and were you able to sell some of them towards the 2011 peak?
Definitely. And I would say the only thing that I didn't do, and of course maybe everybody's susceptible to this, in 2011 where that sort of top in the market occurred, I didn't sell enough. I from 2011 to 2013, I actually didn't do a lot in the market. I spent a lot of time reading and referencing different books, specifically to do with human behavior, because I think it's probably synonymous with the majority majority of investors out there, I really felt like I had to work on myself more than even learning more market fundamentals, but just different mistakes that I could see that I was making with myself. So I was concentrating on that over those 2 years. And then in 2013, I needed a bigger chunk of money. And so we sold the house, and I took a chance.
So that was strategic then. You sold the house in order to access that capital for the expected upcycle. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. The two thirds specifically gave me a large enough portfolio where I felt that it made it worth the risk. That's another thing I've sort of learned was before I would take a lot of small positions. And, you know, putting in all that effort, putting in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of due diligence on one company, and then I would take, let's say, a $500 or $1,000 position in the company, and then everything I thought would happen, and I ended up, let's say, with $3,000 or $4,000 in profits. And really, even though that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to make a bigger difference and say, okay, if I'm going to do the due diligence and I'm going to put the time in and I'm going to set out a plan of how I think this stock or the management team is going to execute on their vision, then I need to make the stakes a little bit higher. And that's where I got to this thing. You know what? I need a bigger chunk of money, which I didn't want to borrow. I wanted to use money that was actually mine. And I had the support of my wife and, yeah, so that's kind of what brought me to selling the house.
Could you talk a little bit about how you had the support of your wife? Because oftentimes, those of us that invest in mining stocks, we may be absorbed in this little world, but our spouse has their own life and daily activities. How were you and your wife able to come into agreement with taking that large sum of money and placing it in mining stocks?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I never really asked her, to be honest with you. But I would say, because I've taken, like, if it wasn't selling my house, then I took a big step in 2016 by leaving my career of over a decade to pursue writing. So I think it just comes down to she believed in me and trusted. But in saying that, without that kind of coherence between the two of us, I don't think it could have ever worked. And I really caution people from not involving their spouse, and especially when you start dealing with larger sums of money or sums of money that can affect your life.
Absolutely. So in 2016, when the market went up, you had much of your previous home equity in the market. What were your gains like in 2016? And then how did you judge your exit strategy in order to seize those gains?
So I overall, my portfolio went up 300%, and that's about in 6 months. So the first 6 months of 2016. And for a while, the idea of leaving my career was percolating in the back. And so what I've done, or what I did, was I started to take, even before, because the market sort of petered out after August of 2016, if you recall. And so it was about May or June where I started taking money out. And the idea was, we were renting a place and I knew I wanted to leave my job. So we bought a place out in the country, and that's where I live now. And so I took a chunk of money, put a down payment on. And then I still do it to this day. I, even though my whole portfolio is resource based, I don't invest in anything else, I still allocate money every year to what I would call, you know, safe investments. And that's paying off my mortgage, you know, paying down a car loan, these sort of things that sort of offset the risk that I take in the market.
Yeah, I was driving with my 11-year-old this afternoon, and I mentioned to him our upcoming interview and how you sold your house and invested the money in mining stocks and did really well. And my 11-year-old said, "Well, Dad, where do they live?" So you just answered that question. I said, probably bought a house or rented a house, son.
Yeah.
So how did you analyze risk? This is a question I have. You take that large sum of money, which I would assume would be a large chunk of your net worth, or the primary chunk of your net worth, and you're going to put it in mining stocks. How did you go about analyzing risk? Could you speak to that, please?
Sure. It's, you know, it's something that's ever evolving. The latest thing for the last couple of months that I've been kind of debating with myself was jurisdictional risk and how that fits in with my overall risk profile. But if we rewind back to you know, let's say 2014 and 2015, when I was putting that initial chunk of money in the market. One thing I've learned, and this goes back, so I'm an engineer by trade. I worked in the steel manufacturing industry for, you know, over a decade. And I was an engineer and then a manager. And what I can tell you is that when you find the right people to work for you or work with you, it makes all the difference in the world. So that was sort of ingrained in me. And so the first thing I was looking for when I was investing was the people. And I know that sounds cliche because a lot of people like to reference it, but you know, it can't be understated because it's absolutely true. And it actually feeds into another thing, conferences. For me, I think I'm a very good judge of people, and I use conferences to meet them, not only see how they treat me, but how they treat other people, the way they answer certain questions. It tells you a lot about the person. And for me, I'm very selective in who I want to associate myself with. And I take that very seriously. And so at another, for instance, I also, with the risk profile, I went from having, let's say, 30 to 40 companies in my portfolio to now I usually don't carry any more than 15. And that's another way I reduce the risk of, even though I'm looking at the market full time, it allows me to focus my energies on, you know, a dozen or so stocks, and I can follow the news flow. I can follow how the stock is trading and make my moves in there.
And I'd like to also point out for the listener that you had 10 years of experience, you know, thinking about successes and failures in investing in mining stocks by the time you decided to sell your house and invest the money and go for it big.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's still a big risk, and one that shouldn't be taken lightly. And it's something that, you know, I didn't, but I think, you know, also the other mantra, I suppose, that I've kind of lived my life by is that I want to take risk. I want to get ahead. And to me, I can't have the type of reward I want without taking some risk. And
when you're looking for investment opportunities today, you've talked about a little how you analyze risk. Can you talk more about your process that you undertake when you want to discover and do your due diligence on potential mining investment opportunities?
Okay. So one way I've done it, and having been around the sector long enough now, there's management teams that I follow, and I've had success with them in the past. And so their next project are typically things that I follow, and I'll end up buying because I've got a familiarity with the team that's executing. Secondly, I try to be contrarian as I can, and it is extremely hard to buy sectors that are out of favor. But, you know, nickel, for instance, for the 4 years preceding 2016, was in a, you know, a major bear market is in terms of the spot price, where, you know, there was so much supply on there that the spot price just kept on falling. And those are sectors that I sort of look for. And then what companies are either searching or developing in that commodity, such as nickel. So yeah, those are two ways that I kind of direct my thought process.
How do you utilize newsletters, specifically paid newsletters, and also everything the internet has to offer?
Okay, so I don't subscribe to any paid newsletters, but there are a couple of people that have newsletters that I really like, and one of them being Brent Cook and Joe Mazumdar from Exploration Insights. Mm-hmm. I think they've got the best product out there, and if I were to buy or subscribe to one, theirs would be the newsletter. I'm really trying to develop my own strategies, and I limit the amount of influence from others, actually, that I let myself be influenced by. And so next to listening to interviews that Brent and Joe give, another fantastic mind in the business is Jayant Bhandari. And I have tremendous respect for that man for a number of different aspects, not just investing, but also his philosophical mind. And then there's like James Rickards. I've read all of his books and have definitely influenced the way that I look at money and sort of, although, you know, no one has a crystal ball, sort of how I look at the future and how I think it might evolve. And that does affect the way that I invest, for sure.
When it comes to books that are specific for teaching the retail mining investor who doesn't have a background in mining, getting them indoctrinated or introduced to the whole realm of mining stock investing, are there any books that you would recommend and that was helpful to you in your journey?
Sure. I would say bar none, and this is a book I try to read at least once a year. It's called The Battle for Investment Survival, and it's by Gerald Loeb. And for me, I would say it is the single most or the single best book on investing. It's more generalized, but he does get into, you know, speculative investments, not specifically to mining, but just how to deal with speculative investments. So I really recommend that. And the second book would be Seeking Wisdom by Peter Bevelin. And again, this one is more focuses on human behavior and you having an introspective look at yourself. Because I do think, you know, no matter what your knowledge is in to do with mining or the way projects are developed or geology, I think the basis for your success will start with working on your behaviors and the criteria that you set for yourself when you go to make an investment. And then probably more derived into the mining side of things. The Northern Miner has a book called Mining Explained, I believe. And I think that's a pretty good baseline knowledge book for people that are just getting into it.
Brian, when it comes to today, we see one of your sponsors was Northern Empire, and they were taken over by Coeur Mining just within the last week. What are your thoughts about that takeover?
I think it's a great bear market takeover. The fact that they sold the company at a share price that's higher than, or it would be at the all-time high for their shares, means everybody made money, you know, with varying degrees of it. But in the end, everybody made money that held. So I think it's a great, you know, feather in the cap of the Northern Empire management team. And for people that were investors, I think the bottom line is they can be happy with a win in a market that is very tough.
In your portfolio now, it's the latter half now of 2018. Gold's been going sideways for 2 years now. What is your expectation for the next 2 years for gold investors and commodity investors? And also, how are you positioning your portfolio in terms of what you hold in equities and what you hold in cash right now?
Sure. Gold's as far as the price is concerned, has been, you know, been tough the last couple of years. But I tend not to be concentrated on actual spot prices, other than when I'm looking at a company, I want to see that the company is profitable or potentially profitable at the current spot price. So in terms of, and this actually goes for all the metals, I see huge opportunity in gold and basically all the base metals. So in terms of how I proportion my cash to equities position, I've been a net buyer for the last probably 2 months, and especially in the last couple of weeks. Having attended the Sprott Natural Resource Symposium a couple of weeks ago, there was definitely a lot of concern over where the market was and not necessarily as optimistic about where it was going. And for me, I think that that's a great contrarian sign. So I've been more active in taking positions in companies that I really like. And so right now I probably stand at 60% equities, 40% cash, but I'm looking to buy more over the coming weeks. And basically how I deploy my money is in tranches. So it's hard, you can never tell where the price is going. And again, like I said, I don't think that you should really concentrate on that, especially in the short term. But I'll buy tranches just in case the market does or is going to go down further. And yeah.
Brian, your latest musings and research can be found at juniorstockreview.com. Could you share with us what are you offering there and what can readers find?
Sure. So at juniorstockreview.com, I publish my work on what I'm investing in personally. The research is free, and you get an account of exactly what I'm doing in the market and how I see different commodities, nickel, zinc, gold. And yeah, the research is free and you can sign up.
You can go there, and I believe right at the top of the homepage, you can enter your email if you'd like to be on Brian's email list. And best way to keep up with your day-to-day thoughts, is it on Twitter or any other presence online you'd like to share?
Yeah, social media, Twitter. Of course, there's my LinkedIn account or CEO.ca. I also am frequent on there. And yeah, email me if you have any questions. I'd be happy to chat with you.
Well, Brian, I've appreciated our conversation. I know the listeners have as well. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
The Resource Insider Investment Service provides independent research and access to exclusive investment opportunities in the mining and metal space. See the link in the show notes below to learn more and use discount code MSE when you sign up for a 15% discount. And make sure you also download the free Resource Insider ebook by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.